When did you come? About like 6 weeks ago, more or less, 6-8 weeks ago? Yeah, more or less 6 or 8 weeks ago, we got a call that one of the elders from the Sunningdale or Blobokstrand Tableview area, one of the elders was diagnosed with cancer suddenly, and we heard that our friend Basil, who was serving on the eldership team there, and his family had to quickly relocate for cancer treatment. And we shared it with you guys then. We said, well, as a family, they're quickly moving. It happened within a week, I think. It was within a week or two. It was a very sudden thing. The diagnosis was there. It's something that he had been diagnosed with before, but it had come back. And we got the message that Basil and his family were moving back to Bloem suddenly to come and get cancer treatment. And you know, the Lord is in everything. He's in all parts of our lives. And we don't always understand it. We don't pretend to understand it. But we knew that even in this thing, even as God was working now in Basil's life and in Shirley's life and in Joel's life, that God also brought them here for us for a reason. And I firmly believe that. And so I reached out to Basil. I don't know how much context he's going to give. The type of cancer, I wrote it down, the message you sent me, Wandelstrom macroglobulinemia. It's apparently a very rare type of cancer. That I can't say, apparently, because Scubble's laughing at me, so I can't say it. It's a rare type of cancer, and anyway, so they moved here, and just, so I reached out to Basil, we had a coffee, and I just said to him, listen, he's going through chemo at the moment. As we speak, tomorrow and Tuesday, he's starting chemo again, going through treatment again. And I said, listen, if there's a window where you feel well, what would you like to do? What brings you joy? How do you love serving the Lord? And he said, well, they love, as a family, walking with people, and he does love preaching the word of God. And so I said to him, we love listening to you then. We'd love to hear you preaching, and we'd love to hear what God's doing in your life even now. And so I also prepared a message this morning as a backup, but Basil said he's feeling good. From Wednesday, he started feeling good. Tomorrow, he's starting treatment again. So we've got it in the perfect window. And that he's feeling good and strong-ish, or strong. I'm not sure which one. Strong. But can we pray for him as he shares the word with us this morning? This is wonderful. Can I just say, this is what a privilege to listen to someone who's probably going through one of the worst times in his life, but that's about to stand up this morning and share the word of God with us this morning. You don't get that anywhere. But you get it where someone really serves the Lord and God brings the circumstances together. Will we allow our hearts to be touched by this? Maybe you won't go through something like this, but you'll go through things in your life. And this morning's message, let it go deep in. God is on the throne. He's asking you to come closer, even as Basil preaches. Let's preach for Basil, for strength as well. Lord, we thank you for this man. Thank you for his family, surely for Joel as well. Lord, but we pray for him now as he preaches, that it would come with conviction. It would come out of his heart. Pray that you would give him strength even as he stands here, physical strength to be able to share with us what you've laid on his heart. We open up our lives. We open up our hearts. Come and speak to us, and come and speak through Basil this morning. And would you strengthen him as he speaks? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Morning, everybody. I am the Bloemfontein version of Zorro with this thing. And it really is good to be with you. Just in case somebody thinks that we are unsocial, I have to just be very careful that I don't pick up any of the different bugs that hang around in winter. So if you see we arrive late and we get outside, please forgive us for that. But you are welcome to come and talk to us. We just need to keep distance, and we need to be wise on all those things. The devil's never changed. He's always the same. He comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But there's one thing that we hold on to. Jesus said, I came to give you life and life to the full. So I want to declare to you today, I will not live one less day than heaven has assigned for me on planet Earth. I will not miss not one conversation. I will not miss one coffee opportunity. I will not miss one sermon that God has planned for me to be able to minister while I'm here. I will fulfill my assignment, and God's name will be magnified. Can somebody say amen with me? So they can call it whatever you want to. And Leonard, that was a good attempt. I don't even go there. I want to tell you, for me, I have not learned to say that name because I do not make that thing mine. It does not belong to me. It's a foreign object in this body that is never created to be there. It is the enemy that wants to steal, to kill, to destroy, and I choose life in Jesus' name. So are you ready this morning? So we're going to do things a little bit differently. Is that okay? We're going to preach today. And you thought, my goodness, I never came prepared. No, you have. You know, the Bible says, well, when we pray and we say amen, do you know what that means? So be it. Let it be. And I want to ask you, God's been doing something to shift us in our walk with Him today. He's been speaking very clearly. And so often we sit there and we hear the truth of God's word and we don't respond to it. I want to challenge you today that if, when as I'm speaking the word and the word triggers something in your heart, will you say amen? You're saying, so be it in my heart, Lord, and in my life. I don't want to just exist while I live here on planet Earth. I want to fulfill my purpose. I want to be everything that you've intended me to be. Amen. Good. That is a good starting point. And so I want to just talk quickly this morning on, are we convinced? Are we convinced? You can know a lot of stuff, but are you convinced? Are you convinced that everything you hear about Jesus is true? Amen. Okay, we're warming up. It's okay, I know. You see, we don't happen to just serve the Lord. We choose to serve Him. It's not something that's just going to happen. It requires you and I to be focused, committed, faithful, persistent. Giving up is not part of our vocabulary. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, you need to understand Jesus has never changed His mind, His plan, His purpose. You and I keep standing up for what He has done. So here's some words, the scriptures that I'm going to just put out to you there, that realizing that you're in my walk is a fight. It's not a cruise. Paul says this, I have fought the fight, I have run the race. He says, our fight is not against flesh and blood, the powers and principalities in the heavenly realms. He says, once having done all things, crawl up in a ball and go and sit in the corner. No. He says, once having done all things, stand. The kingdom of heaven suffers violent, and the violent take it by force. Stuff's not just going to fall in your and my lap. It's because you and I are convinced that Jesus is who He is and what He said He would do, and therefore we stand boldly on that. You see, when you're in a boxing ring, I don't really like boxing, but there's one thing I do know. If you can get your opponent in the corner, you can panel beat him. But if you are in the corner and you want to get yourself out there, you're not going to be there passively. You're going to have to fight your way out of that. And the enemy wants to put you and I in a corner so that you would become passive. No, I'm asking that the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you will stand up strong in Jesus' name. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, to destroy. Exodus says this, the Lord is a man of war. And then it says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So the question is, do you and I, are we convinced that Jesus is who He said He is and that He can do what He said He will do? So what I'm getting to realize in life is that it's easy to talk the talk, but it's a whole different thing to walk the talk. It's a whole thing. Anybody, just because you say that I'm a Christian, it doesn't mean anything. It's who you and I are living out every single day. In 1 John 5:14, he says this, "Now with the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." This is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, what is his will? His word. That's why you and I can stand in it. In Romans 4:21, it says, "Being fully persuaded." Are you fully persuaded today that God had the power to do what he had promised? Fully persuaded. Am I convinced that he loves me, that I'm called, that you are gifted, that you're not a mistake? Are you convinced about those things? Am I convinced that I am fearfully and wonderfully made according to Psalm 139? Am I convinced that the Lord wants to use me? You look at yourself in the mirror and you wonder, Lord, is there any good thing in you? There's a lot of good things on the inside of you because God's never created a mistake. Come on, somebody say amen. You're not a mistake. There's something bigger on the inside of you that you've never discovered. And everything I go through in life is to help me unlock those things. He says, am I convinced that God, what God's word teaches is relevant for me? And I've chosen to say yes. Yes. Isaiah 55 verse 9. Here we go. It says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts than yours. So in other words, what God's saying is, when you come in, you here and I'm here. Okay? But I want to ask you a question. Do you think God wants you to stay here? No. So he says there, as the rain and the snow comes down from heaven and does not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Listen to this. Verse 11, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I have desired and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. God sends his word because it wants to accomplish something in your and my life, in our situations, and everything that we face. A young man from a wealthy family was about to graduate from high school. It was the custom of that affluent neighborhood, I wish I lived in this neighborhood, for the parents to give the graduate a car. Bill and his father spent months looking at the car. And the week after before graduation, they found the perfect one. And on the eve of his graduation, his father handed him a gift-wrapped Bible. Bill was so angry that he threw the Bible down and stormed out the house. He and his father never saw each other again. It was the news of his father's death that brought Bill home again. And as he sat one night going through his father's possessions that he was to inherit, he came across the Bible his father had given him. He brushed off the dust and he opened it. And inside he found a check dated the day of his graduation. It was the exact amount of the car that they had chosen together. You see, in the Bible that day was the fulfillment of a promise made by a father to a son. It just came wrapped in a different form and a different package. Because the son's short-sighted view on the delivery, the promise was never received. Today, in the same Bible, is the fulfillment of promises from our heavenly Father to his earthly children. Promises to protect us, to provide, to pardon, purpose, power. Promise to redeem humanity from the curse of sin. Promise to bless us and cause favor to follow us. Promises to help us overcome and conquer. Promises to take us through and not down. Promises to turn our tests into testimonies. But because sometimes it comes in a different form and a different package, in the way it's presented, we struggle to receive what the Bible says. So in short, what you need to understand, we're talking about, are you convinced? There's two sides to me and you. I've got to watch the time. There's our flesh side and there's our spirit side. You see, our flesh side is the side that the enemy uses to be able to get into us and get at us. It's the way he works his plans in our life. And if the enemy and the devil can get us to operate in the flesh, he can control us. And so therefore he uses our emotions, he uses our feelings, he uses perceptions, he uses pressure around us. He uses those things as a doorway to be able to do his work or his plan. And that's why he tries to make us angry. And that's why he wants us to disagree. And that's why he gets us offended. And all those things. He's getting us to doubt God's word so that we talk more about the problem than we talk about the answer. But there's the other side. There's a spirit us. And that's the doorway that the Lord uses. And if you and I will feed our spirit, man, if we will allow the word of God to shape us, then that becomes the doorway that he uses so that he can lead us in his way and the things that he wants to accomplish in our life. And so are we convinced? So I want to use a biblical example found in Daniel chapter 3. And Daniel chapter 3 is speaking about a king, Nebuchadnezzar, who's ruling over the Babylonian kingdom of that time as the biggest kingdom. And so what happens is Nebuchadnezzar, he creates a big statue and he tells everybody that he wanted to try and unify the nation and cause people to be united. And so he says, every time you hear the music, you bow down and you worship this image that I have created. Exodus 20 verse 3 says, you shall serve no other god but me. I don't know if there's another voice in your life that is stronger right now than the voice of the Lord. But I want to ask you, may the voice of the Lord become the voice that you and I will bow down and worship and obey. And so there's three Jewish young men that are in the kingdom and hold positions of authority at that time. Their name is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you struggle to remember those, just remember your shack, my shack, and a bungalow. And so they refuse to bow down to the image. And obviously, they caused a lot of challenges. And so we're going to pick up the story from Daniel chapter 3, verse 15. It says, now when he heard the sound, and he said to them, yeah, I'm going to give you one more chance to fix this thing. And he says there, now when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all the kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good, not just like half-hearted, very good, but if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into the blazing fire. Then what God? Never test who God is. It says, and what God is able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I want you to listen to their response because faith has a voice. Listen to me, I'm going to say it again. Faith has a voice. And the response is, Shadrach, Meshach, replied, King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in the matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. That's bold. And he will deliver us from you, your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. You see, the enemy does not throw this question out when things are going well. He throws this thing out when there is chaos around you, when life is difficult. When you wake up in the morning and you just don't feel this, there's like nothing on the inside of you to fight back. Those are the times that he chooses. Why? Because he is a wicked worker of iniquity. And everything is going out not according to plan. So I want to leave three things with you this morning. Number one, remember, our stand will be tested. Your and my stand for God will be tested. In 1 Corinthians 3:12, it says, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stone, wood, hay, and stubble, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Everything we do is going to be tested. And when we stand on the word, the devil will always challenge us, calling
So that's why just calling yourself a Christian doesn't mean anything. It does not scare the devil. But can I tell you what does scare the devil? The Word of God in you. I'm going to say that again. You don't scare him because you carry a title. The only thing that scares him is the Word of God in you. Because when I squeezed the toothpaste tube this morning, toothpaste came out. And when the enemy squeezes me and you, what's going to come out of us? It better be the Word of God. Because that's the only thing that will withstand his plan. And you'll see there's a consistency here. And just rewinding a little bit, Daniel 3:14, he says that, is it true? When he heard that they were not going to worship them, he said, is it true? And that is the same devil that was talking in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve, when he tempted Adam and Eve, and he said, did God say? The enemy's plan is to always put a question mark over what God, who God is, what he said and what he can do in your and my life. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel's praying, and he's praying, and he gets a vision of this big conflict that's happening, and he prays and fasts for 21 days. And here's the answer. Listen to what it said. Daniel 10, verse 12, it says, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself, in other words, when you started to pray and fast, it says, before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to that. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Remember the Bible says, my fight is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in the heavenly realms. And that's why sometimes things are delayed. It doesn't mean to say God's not heard you. Come on, that's going to put some hope in you when you're praying. It says, and Michael, the one chief prince, came to help me because I was detained there by the king of Persia. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, and against the rulers and authorities, against the powers of darkness of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Daniel 11:32 says, but the people who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. There's a call this morning, come closer, get to know me. And you need to understand that's what God wants to do. And so the only way you win, you got to outlast the enemy. I'm going to say that again. The only way you win is you outlast the enemy. When he has thrown everything that he can at you, I want to tell you, you outlast him. You keep praising God. You keep magnifying him. You keep speaking his word. You keep enjoying him. You keep coming to these times together. You keep doing everything that the Bible keeps telling me and you to do. That's why he says in Ephesians 6:13, therefore put on the full armor of God, that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And listen to this, and after you have done everything, you just keep standing. After you have done everything, you keep standing. I want to tell you, God's word works. When you're not feeling well, God's word still works. You just got to keep speaking it. You got to keep declaring it. You got to just keep on. We are convinced. Delay does not mean denial. Where am I? Training. These moments are all training moments because of the big things that God's still wanting to do in you, with you, and in spite of you. You become very quiet. Are you still here? Okay. Our stand will be tested. Number two, remember, it could get worse before you get breakthrough. It could get worse before you get breakthrough. So in my treatment so far, I've had two sets. What happens is I have 2 days at a time, so tomorrow and Tuesday are my next round. Round one, the preventative medication attacked me. So that was not a very pleasant experience. Round two, the chemo up and attacked me. That was another not a pleasant experience. I had all the doctors and the nurses running around crazy, but I walked into the chemo room that day as a stranger. I wasn't a stranger long. I'm not too sure what all the people that were sitting there and getting chemo was thinking when this was going down, but it doesn't matter. I'm still standing and I'm still here in Jesus' name. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 9, then King Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. I think that is the demonstration he was mad. And commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the burning fire. And so these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took Shadrach, Meshach, and chucked them into the furnace. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. When you hear, listen to me, when you hear about a fire, it's one thing. When you feel the heat, it's a whole nother story. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, the devil prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He is after you and he's after me. And you know what? He doesn't have to get you by tomorrow. He's got your whole life ahead of you to plan that. That is why every single day is important of what are you doing to build yourself up in him for the day of evil that he has planned against you. You see, when you're in a safe place, a lion's roar is amazing. But when you're in the cage with him, the lion's roar has a whole different effect on you. Fear rises up. Panic hits you. All those things. And when the lion roars, are we still convinced? So our stand will be tested. It might get worse before it gets better. Number 3, get ready for the supernatural. If you want the supernatural, you know what? We're always asking God for miracles, but there has to be something wrong for a miracle to happen. Yet we don't like things going wrong. So I think heaven sits confused sometimes thinking, you're asking for miracles. I want to do something, but you don't like the stuff that has to happen for miracles to happen. I don't like those things either, but I want miracles to happen. So on the last time when everything went down in the chemo thing, the next day I had to go back again. And everybody said, hey, we're going to behave ourselves today. So I said to the nurses that were about to give me chemo, I said, ladies, I just want you to know something. I'm going to go through all these chemo treatments, but I'm telling you today, I'm not coming back again. This devil is going to die forever. This devil is going to, you somewhere along the line, you're going to have to make your faith public. Ephesians 3:13, and after you've done everything, you stand. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that is at work within us. 2 Chronicles 16:9, I'm throwing these quickly because I'm running out of time. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. God is looking for opportunities to demonstrate who he is. Will you and I be the people that will make the stand so that he can do that? Come on. So back to Daniel chapter 3, to verse 24. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unburned and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of God. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blaze first and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Listen to the change of language. First it was, which God's going to be able to take you out of my hands? Now he's saying, Shadrach, Meshach, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor the hair of their heads had been singed. Their robes were not scorched, or they would have no smell of smoke on them. I was around a bride the other day. I didn't do the brying, but man, I smelt like. And so I'm asking you and I, are you convinced about when you read about the God that demonstrated himself in the pages of the Bible, are we convinced that he is still that one? Are we convinced? You see, in the Old Testament, I wonder if I could have the worship team up, please. Just play in the background. Because you're about to hear about this God that we serve. You're about to hear that he's never changed his mind. And in the Old Testament, people gave names to God on how he showed himself, not when things were going well, but when things were tough, when things were hard, when things were not going according, when they had no answers. And here in Daniel chapter 3, he's called the fourth man. The fourth man who showed himself in their fiery furnace. Who is this God that if you and I will entrust our lives to him, do you want to know who he is? I asked the question, do you want to know who he is? They called him Elohim, the mighty one. There is no one like him. They called him El Shaddai, God Almighty, the one that nothing is too hard for him. Listen to who people gave him names. He is El Elyon, the Most High God. He reigns over above everything that I will ever face. Hallelujah. He is El Roy, the God who sees. Even in my lowest moment, he never loses sight of me. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. When I lack, he provides. Come on, say amen. He is Jehovah Rapha, my healer. When I am broken, he restores. He is Jehovah Nissi, the banner of victory. When I'm in battle, he is fighting for me. He is Jehovah Shalom, my peace. When my mind is overwhelmed with the situation, he's the one that calms the storm. He is Jehovah, who's this fourth man that declares in Malachi, I do not change. The Hebrews said he's the same yesterday and today and forever. He is Jehovah Sidkenu, my righteousness. When I fall short, he covers me. Thank you, Lord, for that. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is the Lord that is there. Wherever I go, he is with me. Do you believe that? He is Jehovah Makadesh, the one who sanctifies me. He is making me holy in the process. He is using every opportunity he can to be able to reveal himself to you and I. He is Adonai, my Lord and Master, and I surrender fully to him. He is Jehovah Oshe, my maker, the one who works wonders. He formed me with a purpose. That's why he declares in Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Come on, somebody agree with that one. He is Jehovah Gule, my redeemer. He restores what was lost. He is Jehovah Ore, my light. When darkness surrounds me, he shines through. He is Jehovah Cherub, my sword. He defends me with truth and with power. He is Jehovah Gimel, the God of recompense. Sorry if I'm not kind of pronouncing these, if there's any theological people inside this place. But he is the God of recompense. He repays what has been stolen, and that is found in Esther when Naomi and Ruth, thank you for helping me. When Ruth came in as a complete stranger and how she became the lineage of Jesus, he's the one that repays what has been broken. Who is this fourth man? That if you and I love him with all our hearts, he gives his life as a sacrifice. The New Testament calls him Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Word of God. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Good Shepherd. He's the Bread of Life. He is our Provider. He is the Light of the world. They call him Abba Father, the one that loves. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Who is this fourth man that if you and I will dare to believe him, let me tell you who he is. He is the one that the grave could not hold and the devil could not beat. He holds my future. He's the name of Jesus. He is risen and he is alive. If something is getting excited inside you, you're allowed to get excited, by the way. He has not lost control. He is in control. He is the King of all kings, and he is the Lord of all lords. That is the greatest news that you and I will ever hear. Do you believe it? Are you convinced? You see, because if you are, it's going to change how you and I live from tomorrow onwards. Because he's not trying to be. He is. He is. He is. Let's pray. Father, today, we don't just pray. We don't just call on you. We call on who you are. That every time we mention the name of Jesus, you are all these things. When you spoke to Moses and he said, "Who must I say sent me?" You said, "Go and tell them, I am sent you. I am what you need me to be. In every face and every challenge that you're facing, I am the answer." So we declare your name over our life, over our situation, over our future, because when we call on your name, things shift, chains break, fear leaves, faith rises. In Jesus' name, I declare mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. I thank you that we are not shaken because we know who you are. You are everything we need in Jesus' name, the name that's above every name. Will you just praise him right now for who he is? We thank you, my Father.